Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to another edition of Arise and Shine Global Ministry. My name is Daryl Hikes, and I will be your host for the next 29 minutes and 44 seconds. So, hey, let's just pray and just get right into the program. Heavenly Father, first of all, thank you so much for the opportunity of being able to minister to people via the internet, via Blog Talk Radio. I do not take the opportunity lightly. It is a privilege and an honor, and I thank you that today you speak through my vocal cords, that you think through my mind. I thank you that it's all of you and none of me, and I thank you that everything that's said today is said in a spirit of love, a spirit of grace, a spirit of mercy, a spirit of peace, to where it's not judgmental, it's just you using me to tell people how much you love them, how much you care about them, how you have their best interest in mind. That's what this word is about. And we're gonna look at some stuff that's kind of, it's comical. We're gonna look at some things that are sad. We're gonna look at some things that, you know, hey, there's hope, there's faith, there's peace, there's opportunity. You know, as we look at all these things, we just thank you that your Holy Spirit speaks to us as to what we need to do to strengthen and to really get engaged in our relationship with you. And it's for that we give you thanks. And it's in the mighty, wonderful, majestic name of Jesus that I pray. And if you're listening and you agree with that prayer, then just say amen. Because amen means so be it. So, hey, I want to, first of all, just thank everybody for listening, for tuning in. I'm super excited. I've been up since, I think it was like 6 o'clock, Central Standard Time. No, it might've been a little bit later, but, one of my goals is to try to cram 3 hours worth of study into like 27 minutes, which, you know, I'm just going to calm down. I'm just going to take a deep breath. And then we're just going to go through some scriptures. We're going to look at some things, and then we're going to go from there. I do want to start out by saying God's number one goal, his ultimate, the term sin, literally, it means to miss the mark. And so God, when he dealt with sin, his mark was to get you back in right standing with him through Jesus. And then he said, all right, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you my spirit so you'll understand how to function in your relationship, not only with me, but in your relationship with this entire world, this entire universe, everything that God has created. So I need to say this. God doesn't want anything he created to perish. Let's go over to 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 1 through 18. I'll read, and then, you know, I might make a comment on something or draw something out, you know. So we'll just do that. So 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 1, and I'm reading out of the New King James Version. It's the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. When I was married, my spouse, she gave me this Bible as a gift because I had one before, but I lost it or something happened. Or maybe I gave it away or something like that. But I love this Bible. I like this Bible because it was a Bible that it was one of my first Bibles after I got born again. You know how some things are just special to you, to where you just want to hang on to stuff. And so, you know, I wanted to use these different translations and, you know, these different versions and things like that. But then as I started reading, I remembered this is what got my attention. So why not stick to what works, you know? Okay. So 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm just going to start in verse 1. It says, Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this verse that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water, pronounced water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's pretty simple. God is not willing that any should perish. Let's put it in a way that people ask, well, what's the will of God for your life? Well, number one, he's not willing that any should perish. We know that because it says right here, God is not willing that any should perish. What does that mean? He's going to do everything he can to make sure you don't. I looked up that word perish in the Webster's 1828 edition dictionary. I use that dictionary because it actually has Bible scriptures in there. I don't use this new. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that everything has to be thrown out. But what I am saying is, if you want to get the authenticity of something, then you need to go back to the source. And so Webster has a dictionary, the 1828 online dictionary version or online dictionary, and it actually, like if you look up a word, it'll literally give you the Bible scripture that goes along with that word. And I absolutely love it, you know. And so this word perish, it's a Latin word. It's a Latin origin because there are three major languages: Latin, Hebrew, and Greek. Because those are the three languages that were put upon the they were posted when Jesus was on the cross. They were posted up there too. So our language today derives from those three languages. Now there are other languages. I know people are gonna say, you know, do you right now. It's my show, and I'm going to say what God has given me to say. I'm not going to argue with people. I'm not going to fight with people. I just, that's me, okay? So, perish, literally, if you look at it, it means to die, to lose life in any manner. See, men perish by disease or decay. Right now, there's a pandemic called the coronavirus. Its job is to kill, steal, and destroy. To see anybody say, hey, a person got, you can get better, you can recover from something, but it doesn't strengthen your immune system. It attacks and tries to kill you, and your immune system is designed to fight it off. So the corona, let's be clear. This pandemic, the coronavirus associated with this pandemic is designed to kill, steal, and destroy, period. So now you have to decide, what am I going to do to keep this from killing me, stealing my life, and destroying everything I got? Because if you're destroyed, then, well, let's read on, because there's some more stuff that it talks about. But it says, men perish by disease or decay, by the sword, by drowning, by hunger or famine, etc. Also, this word perish means to waste away, as a leg or an arm has perished. Well, you know, like diabetes. You know, I've seen people with gangrene where they cut stuff off or it starts to wither away and starts to dry up and things like that. So, you know, you have to be in a position to where you can take care of yourself. Perish means to be in a state of decay or passing away. It means to be destroyed or to come to nothing, to fail entirely, or to be I'm not going to use that word because, we'll just skip. Okay, we're not going to use that one because you have to go into the original and then you have to. So It says to be burst or ruined as the bottle shall perish, and you can find that in Luke 5:37, to be wasted or rendered useless, to be injured or tormented, to be lost eternally, to be sentenced to endless misery. 2 Peter 2:12. You know, perish, it's a transitive verb, means to destroy. Now, I'm going to say something that, because it says here, not legitimate. That's one of the definitions of perish. It means to be not legitimate. Parents set their children on a destructive course when they bring them into an illegitimate situation, because legitimacy involves the passing down of rights and privileges. It's something about when a person knows who they are and they know who they belong to and they know their rights and their privileges. When they know, hey, wait a minute, that's my bedroom. Why? Because my mom and my daddy gave it to me. Now, do we live in current situations? Because of sin, we see situations to where, you know, there are children who are brought into illegitimate situations. I understand all that. But we're always talking about choice. God always deals with man from the position of the right to choose. Satan deals with man from the position of, I am going to strip you of your right to choose. That's called bondage. God is about freedom. Satan is about bondage. That's the separation. So anything that brings you into bondage, that's not God. That's not God. Notice I said brings you into bondage. I didn't say willful, because Paul said I'm a bondservant. See, I am a willful bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I choose to serve him. He made me an offer. I accepted. I couldn't refuse. Well, I could have refused, but I chose not to. Because of my love for him and what he did for me. In exchange, I want to share his love with as many people as I can possibly or come in contact with. Because that's very, 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 very important to me. Because I don't want anybody to perish either. I would not want to live on this planet, on this earth, and know I had the words of life, but I chose to withhold them. And as a result, people died and went to hell when they could have left this planet and went to heaven. Okay, second thing. That was the first thing. God doesn't want anything he created to perish. When we read the definition of perish, gave a few scriptures, things like that. Second thing is, God loves us. John 3, and you don't find too many people that actually read, you know, we know John 3, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But let's read a little bit above and below that, and let's see what we got. Let's start in verse 1. John 3:1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now I'm thinking to myself, you got to be kidding me, man. Okay, verse 3, Jesus answered, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Look here, man, you got to explain some stuff. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you, if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You know what's interesting? The medical symbol, like if you go to a hospital, if you look, see a medical symbol, it's a serpent wrapped around a stick or a staff, or, you know, that's the same thing Moses used in the wilderness. And then it says here, let's see, it says here in verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all, it says men unto me, but if you translate it, if you translate that correctly, it's saying I will draw all. He's talking about all sin. Everything that causes men to be offended or causes offense, he says, I'll draw that to me. So the coronavirus has been drawn to Jesus. So why are we dealing with it if it's already been dealt with? It's something to think about, isn't it? It says, on that cross, I think it's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. It says, he bore our sins on the cross in his body. Let's go there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. And then Isaiah 53 also gives a really good, I'd read Isaiah 53. That's a good one. Read all the scriptures on healing. If you're dealing with, if you're dealing with fear, read Timothy, where it talks about God's not giving us a spirit of fear. If you're dealing with health problems, find all the scriptures that deal with healing. The woman with the issue of blood, you know, the blind man. If you need healing, whatever it may be, if there's finances, we got about 12 minutes left, but I'm gonna show you where God gave the Israelites unusual favor. And see, I've been grafted into the family, so I'm a spiritual Israelite, and I'm a natural child of God. How's that? I like that. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, that's 2 Peter. You know, let's go to the Peter before 2 Peter. We got two Peters, huh? No, we don't have two Peters. It's one Peter. It's just two books. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So since I were healed, I am healed. So it's my responsibility to protect the healing that I already have. It's like, think about it like this. You have a home. Everything in your home belongs to you, or it should, unless you know you're. Now, if you do them rent-a-center places, rent-a-center and all that kind of stuff, to where you borrowing and you don't own it, which means they can come and get it when they want to. But you know what? God delivered his people from debt, from bondage. I'm telling you, just wait. But think about it. If you own stuff in your home and somebody wants to come in and take what you know you own, you're going to defend and protect it to make sure they don't take it. So since I was healed, my healing, if sickness tried to show up, because sickness is designed. See, sick, the word sick, the definition of sick means to malfunction or to not operate properly. It's just that simple. Okay, if my eyes are designed to see and they're not working properly, well, Jesus died so that I can have it restored. But I have to believe that. And I have to trust and believe that he did that. And then I find all the scriptures that give examples of people who received their sight back, or who received some type of healing, or received some type of deliverance. Let me tell you something. That news channel is not going to promote your healing. God bless them, but they don't know how. They just don't. Everything is natural when it comes to this world system. They deal with the five physical senses. What I can see, taste, touch, feel, hear, that's what they deal with. That's that, I don't want to sound like I'm against the world system. It's just I understand how it functions. If I go to a doctor, a medical physician, see, he's trained in medicine. He may not be trained in health, which is, that's my job. That's my responsibility. I'm responsible for health. You know why? Because I'm responsible for what goes in my mouth. I'm responsible for what goes in my ears. I'm responsible for what comes out of my mouth, I'm responsible for all that. God doesn't hold the doctor responsible for all of that. That's on me. So, God so loved the world. Let's get back to Nicodemus is now here where we stop. Verse 14. Okay, verse 15 says that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. Oh, we're back to that word perish, but have eternal life. So God doesn't want anybody to perish, and all you got to do is believe in Jesus. That's what stops the perishing. Okay, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So if somebody's perishing, what should they do to stop the perishing and reverse the process? Well, it says right here, whosoever believes in him should not perish. So you can hold God to his word and that promise. Hey, wait a minute. It says right here, if I believe in Jesus, I shouldn't perish. So if anything is perishing, if a virus is attacking my body and causing perishing to happen, oh, wait a minute. Let me get my scriptures out. Jesus said I shouldn't perish because I believe in him. God says I shouldn't perish because I believe in his son. Took my sin. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Isaiah 53. Exodus 15:26. We can just go through the scriptures. We can just go through the scriptures. And it's like the more scriptures you put in, the more doubt, fear, and unbelief is going to get flushed out. It's like when I was younger, because I'm still young. I had one of my basketball players. I dunked a basketball, and he said, "Oh, coach, you still got it, huh?" And I said, "What do you mean, still got it? It's never left." And it ain't like still got it. Yeah, it's there. Period. Healing is here. Period. Now, what you do with it, whether you access it, that's on you. But it's there. It's there for the taking. It's yours. That's on you. 6 minutes? I wanted to say, Doug, you fresh, you're on. All right, let's move on. So, God so loved the world. Let's finish up. Let's look at verse 17. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. He who does the truth, it didn't say he who believes the truth or he who listens to the truth, but he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen, been done in God. So I don't have to say anything to people about, hey, man, you about to die and go to hell if you don't get your life right. No, people already know. They know if they're in sin. They know if they're going the wrong way. The Bible tells me to love a person. Now, you speak the truth in love, of course. I mean, if you're married, but then you're living with somebody that you're not married to, then okay, you might need to get, if you don't want to be with the person, or the person don't want to be with you no more, get the divorce. Go ahead on and leave it like. Now, another thing about that, see, folks, the right to choose and self-control are two of the greatest assets any human being can ever possess. The right to choose and the ability to control yourself. Yeah. I am a, well, the world says that I'm like single or whatever, divorce, whatever, however they want to put it. But I have control over my faculties. What that means is, because of my love for God, I can't go out there and just live with a woman or have sex with a woman, or because I'm like Joseph. That would be a violation against my God. And I can't do that. Yeah, but don't you get urges? No, I learned how to control that. It's like lifting weights. I mean, you work out, you hit a, what I call it, a groove, to where it don't even affect you no more. I do the same thing in the area of healing. If I'm walking by and I bump my leg on the table or something, I just say, I don't even receive that. And I keep moving. And the pain has to go. Why? Because I practiced over the years. I mean, I've been at this for over 20 years. So it's like, it's just second nature to me. I don't sit up and, oh man, I ain't married no more, so I can go out here and go to the club. I can go to the strip joint. That's gone. That's not me. That's not a part of me. Now, if somebody says, hey, man, let's go pass out some Bibles or let's go get some people saved, I'm ready. Why? Because that's my new nature. So I have a new nature. The old things have passed away. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 talks about, we're going to read this, and then it talks about I'm a new creature. We'll read this. I'll give you an opportunity to get born again, and then I'm going to get off the phone and go get something to eat because I'm hungry. What do you mean? You can't say that on the – I just said it. For 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So I am a minister whether I stand in the pulpit or not. I'm a minister whether I have a license or not. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So I have the word of reconciliation. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You know what? I know we were supposed to talk about Egypt or Goshen, so you're just going to have to tune in to the next broadcast. But right now, I want you to I'm going to show you the purpose of a moment of silence. Take a moment of silence just to think about your life and if you today, what will happen. So here's the deal. If Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, what that means is he's the one that's in control of your life. He's the one that makes decisions. He's the one that facilitates your life. And if you die today, the Bible says to be out of the body, to be present with the Lord. But if you never made a decision concerning him, then today is your day. And if you want to make a decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life, then repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, I want Jesus Christ to be a part of my life. I want him to be my life. I want him to control my life. I believe he died for me. I believe he died for all the sins of the world, even my sin. And I exchange my life for what he did. So today, I believe Jesus lives in my heart. I live for him. I choose to serve him. And I choose to love him because he first loved me. It's in the mighty, wonderful, majestic name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Hey, welcome to the family. Read your Bible, and we'll talk next time. How's that? Hey, have a great day.